I invite you to please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts bring glory to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we celebrate St. Luke. Luke is mentioned three times in the letters of St. Paul, and the reason is that Luke and St. Paul traveled and did ministry together for quite some time. The beloved physician, as he was known, wrote of a Jesus who was compassionate, caring, and extended grace wherever he went. The first writing, the Gospel according to Luke, told the story of Jesus and talked about his preaching and his great works, his suffering, death, and resurrection. And the second set of writings, taken from Acts of the Apostles, Luke tells how the good news was shared and how the apostles traveled extensively, starting in Jerusalem and ending in Rome. Luke goes to great pains to present a comprehensive, detailed analysis of Jesus' life. He wanted to tell the story with clarity, accuracy, and since it was written about 60 years after the resurrection of Jesus, it is often understood as one of the most reliable sources of the actual historical Jesus. Luke portrays Jesus as this unprejudiced, accepting, and forgiving person. He presents Jesus who broke down the religious, cultural, and socioeconomic barriers of his time and challenged the status quo. Now, Luke not only presents the birth of Jesus happening in one of the most unusual places, especially if you had a messianic expectation of Jesus to be a political ruler, and he's being born in a stable. But he also talks about his entire life. He presents him not only as fully human, but fully divine. And he creates one of the most extraordinary challenges of our Christian journey in Luke 6, 32 to 35, which reads, "But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil." When you really examine Luke, what you get is a very clear picture of a human Jesus and his deity. You understand that he is the two in one completely. And because of Luke's writing style, everything is so profoundly detailed and has this chronological order that you forget the power and transforming power of the writing, which is found in chapter 19. And this is the verse, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those that were lost." Many of you will remember from Sunday school the stories of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, all revealing through Luke's writing that Jesus has come to seek and to save those who are lost. Those who are lost. In the twinkling of an eye, our lives can change forever. And we may survive the experience, or we may not. It may be a stroke, or a heart attack, or it might be a car accident. It might be a life-changing moment that leaves us less than we once were. Experiences of profound grief and loss can do that to you. But Luke presents a Jesus who does, as he says, great works. There are such things as miracles that were being done during that time, and a few of us believe that those miracles still happen in the most unusual ways. Last night, while attending a social event with Joyce, I sat down with a set of parents and their young daughter, who's in her mid-20s. She is an extraordinarily talented and gifted young lady. She seemed quiet, withdrawn a little bit. And I looked at her and I said, I understand it was a difficult night. And she began to tell me the following story. For the previous evening, she was in the car with one of her best friends, and he was driving. He's a safe driver. I have been in the car. I have driven with him. He is a safe driver, but circumstances change everything. And two nights ago, everything changed. He swerved to miss a deer. And in missing the deer, his back tires caught the gravel. And he slid up the side of the hill, and the car spun three times and landed on its side. When this young woman opened her eyes, she was hanging upside down. The seatbelt saved her life. Or was it just the seatbelt? She turned to her good friend, and he too was alive. And then she could smell the smoke. And she turned to him and said, we got to get out of here, only both of the doors were crushed in. Their escape happened through a window in the roof of the car. They were standing there by the time the police arrived. Of course, they had one of those devices in the car that declared the 911 call, and the rescue units showed up pretty fast. And the police walked up to them, looked at the car, and said, there is no way the two of you are alive. No way. But you and I know a way. You and I know a way. Because the Jesus of 2,000 years ago or more has agents of grace and mercy that are sent on a regular basis. Luke was one of the extraordinary physicians of his time, but we praise the greatest physician of all time who has agents of rescue and mercy. I looked at her dad last night and I said, well, the first thing we're going to do is wrap her in bubble wrap. And she said, she smiled and nodded. And then he said, and then I'm going to ground her for life. You see, he's one of those loving, caring, protective dads who wants to do everything to care for his kids, as so many of the parents in this room do. I have to wonder if it was the prayers of her parents and so many others who love her that helped bring her home safely. By the way, she has a bruised elbow. Something to think and pray about as we hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.